Good morning, church. So we are in the Advent season, and if you just think about Advent, it's a season of, let's say, preparing ourselves for the celebration of birth of Christ. And Advent is also a season that in which we anticipate and prepare ourselves for the second coming of our Lord Christ. And Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." He also said, "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of prophecy of this book." So what we do here at IBC Bielefeld in the season of Advent is to look back at the Old Testament and to remember some important prophecies. So far, three sermons have been preached. Anthony preached on Christ promised in Genesis, and Stephen preached on Christ promised in Psalms, and Ansgar preached on Christ promised in Exodus. So today we will be looking at Christ promised in the book of Isaiah. So now, hope you have your Bible with you, and we are going to have a look at some passages in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah is in the middle of your Bible. So let's first read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. So only one verse. So here you see, so the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So that's the first verse of Isaiah. So the name of Isaiah means "The Lord is my salvation." And Isaiah was a son of Amos. So you see the first verse. And, well, actually, his father was probably a relative or brother of a kings of Amaziah. So he had somehow relationship to the kings. And maybe because of that relationship, so he was allowed to enter into Jerusalem and talking to the kings. And his prophetic service covered four kings, basically Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So the book of Isaiah was written between 739 BC and 681 BC. So in the whole Old Testament, this book provides us with the most comprehensive prophetic messages, a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ. This book has in total 66 chapters, right? I guess you know. So you can think about, you can divide in two major parts. So the first part is from chapter 1 through chapter 35. So it deals with prophecies about the last time of Jerusalem, Judah, and also surrounding nations. And the second major part of this book is from chapter 40 till the end, 66. That's the second major part. And it deals with the relation of God's people to Messiah, the promised Christ, and ends with the description of Christ's reign. And in the middle, we have chapter 36 to 39, that's the historical part. All right. Yep. All right. So today I want to draw your attention to just one verse. So one specific verse in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this verse was also cited in Matthew chapter 1. And today we will concentrate on this one verse and think about the meaning of this verse, and especially I want to give you a bit historical context of this prophecy. And I pray that God may speak to us as we open the Bible, as we open our hearts, as we are ready to receive His message and His word in our heart. Of course, the first question is, we may ask, is in what historical context was this promise given? So what was the political situations in the kingdom of Judah and Israel? And to answer this question, we need to take a look at chapter 7. So Isaiah chapter 7, I need one volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 7 from verse 1 through 6. Please, go ahead. That's okay. T.O. 6? Yeah. Thank you. So in the chapter 7, verse 1, in the one verse you see six kings' names mentioned in the first verse. So Ahaz, Jotham, Uzziah, and Rezin, and Pekah. Yeah, also Remaliah. So you have many, many kings you see here. Well, in order to give you a bit of more information about this verse, I prepare one slide. Can you go to the next slide? Okay, so there's some. But here you see, in the middle you see a map of many nations. So there are two nations were highlighted. So basically it's the North Kingdom of Israel and the Southern Kingdom of Judah. And then also give you all the kings' names. So Southern Kingdom of Judah, you see there are four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, Hezekiah, and also the time when they reigned as king. And in Israel, Kingdom of Israel, you see Pekah and Hoshea. And another kingdom is Aram Damascus. So I'm here, in ESV version is the kingdom of Syria. But actually if you look at the history, actually in the, when Rezin was a king, so the Syria was no longer independent. So Syria has already to pay the tribute to the kingdom of Assyria. And so now you see all the, at least the three kingdoms here, and all the names are listed, and also their territories. Alright, so what has happened is in verse 1, so Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. So there was already a war against Judah, but actually, what had happened in the past when the father of Ahaz, so Jotham, when Jotham was a king, and God already sent those enemies to attack Judah. So in 2 Kings chapter 15, it says, during the reign of Jotham, the Lord began to send Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. So Jotham, the father of Ahaz, fought wars against those kings. So that was not the first time Ahaz faced the challenges. His father has already, faced those wars. And now verse 2, when the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of forest shake before the wind. Well, that's a picture of, really terrifying, in great fear, great terror. Well, we may ask why Ahaz was so afraid. Well, of course, he was very, very young. When Ahaz became a king, he was only 20 years old. That's one reason. Of course, the second reason, he had already experienced some attacks before this new coalition between these two countries. So, let's say he was a young king and unexperienced king and also faced really strong enemies. So that's why his heart shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And it was at exactly this moment God sent Isaiah to meet him. And Isaiah said to Ahaz, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands and the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. God knew the evil plan of these two kings. And what they want to do is they wish to attack Judah and replace a king. So they want to get rid of Ahaz and replace another person. So in the text also said they want to replace Ahaz with the son of Tabu. So that's their plan. So why do they want to do that? They want to replace Ahaz with their own friend. And the next step is they want to try to make a larger coalition. You have now, at the moment you have two countries, and now you have three countries. So Syria and Israel, Judah. If you have such a large coalition, then they may at least imposing to a kingdom of Assyria, because Assyria is already, you know, moving. They were moving to attack those countries. So that's a superpower. And that's their wish, their plan. So now I need one volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7 to 12. So verse 7 to 12.
Moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord.
Thank you. So what you see here is Isaiah first assured Ahaz, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear from the two superpower, I mean two powers, two kingdoms, so two invading powers, because their plan cannot be accomplished. Because both powers will stop being a nation in the meantime. So, the verse says, within 65 years, Ephraim will be scattered from being a people. And so both nations would stop being a people in a short time. And then there's a challenge to Ahaz. So Isaiah said to Ahaz, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And next, it says, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. So Ahaz was confronted with political crisis in his time, and he was given opportunity to make a choice of turning to God for help, a choice of believing what God said through Isaiah. And what Ahaz really needed is to have faith in the Lord, and to believe that God is sovereign and God is in control. And Ahaz was first given an opportunity to ask for a miracle. So a miracle that may strengthen the faith. So what Ahaz really needed is just a little faith, a really little faith, maybe as small as, you know, the mustard seed. And just like a seed needs water and sunlight, maybe also some oxygen, I don't know, to germinate, you know, a miracle will definitely help to strengthen his little faith. And God was ready. God was ready to perform a miracle for Ahaz to assist his faith in the promised deliverance. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. So his answer sounds very spiritual. If you see also Bible, sometimes you should not put the law to the test. So it sounds quite spiritual. But actually it's a rejection of the message. The message from the Lord and through Isaiah. So Ahaz failed to choose God as his deliverer. And he failed to recognize that God of Israel is greater than other superpowers, especially than the king of Assyria. And what did he do next? So what was in his mind? What was his solution to solve his problem? And how did he protect his kingdom from those invading powers? So now I need another volunteer to read 2 Kings chapter 16. So 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 to 9. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7 to 9. Thank you. So in this passage, we see that what Ahaz actually did to protect his kingdom was to ask help from king of Assyria. So Tiglath-Pileser, instead of turning to God for help and deliverance, he asked for help from the most powerful king in his mind. And later on, Ahaz even considered the idols of Damascus more powerful than God of Israel. And in the next, you also found when King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, he saw the altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Uriah, the priest, a model of the altar and its pattern, exact in all its details. And Uriah, the priest, built the altar in accordance with all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Uriah, the priest, made it. So he visited Damascus and saw the idols there, and then he asked his priest to change the altar, to change the pattern. And his priest listened to his command and made it. And later on he also worshipped and offered sacrifices on that altar. And also because Ahaz asked the king of Syria for help, and he had listened to him. So some changes were also made in the arrangement and furniture of the temple. And also in 2 Kings chapter 16 verse 18, it said, the covered way for the Sabbath that has been built inside the house, and the outer entrance for the king he caused to go around the house of the Lord because of the king of Assyria. So king of Assyria gave his command to change the furniture and arrangement in the temple. And he did it. So now I need another volunteer to read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 to 17. We go back to Isaiah chapter 7 from verse 13 to 17.
And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear the Son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring you, will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria."
Thank you. So after King Ahaz rejected the Lord and his word, and after King Ahaz refused to ask a sign from the Lord, and after the house of David considered the king of Assyria more powerful than the promise of God, and the Lord himself promised to give a sign, to give the house of David a miracle. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And God made another promise in Isaiah chapter 9. And it's clearer. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord hosts will do this." So what can we learn from these texts? And how do we apply it to our lives? I think there are at least four things to think about. The first thing is, we Christians may face difficulties and difficult situations, and we have to make a choice. So either we turn to God for help or turn to people for help. Do we seek help from the most powerful person or the most professional man? Or do we believe that God is in total control? Well, even though you may know who is responsible for your problem, and you see the best person who may solve your problem, and there is still one thing we should keep in mind. God is the one who is behind all the problems. And God is the one who is the primary cause of the problem. And God is the one who is in control of everything, and he is the one who is able to solve the problems. And Ahaz saw the king of Assyria may help him. And when he asked help from the king, and the problem was solved, but that's not the way that God wants the problem solved. And the second thing is, I want to think about is this. It was God who sent Isaiah to speak to Ahaz. And God was also ready to perform a miracle and to prove that his word is true. But the message of Isaiah was rejected, and the word of God was rejected by Ahaz. And even the readiness of performing a miracle was considered unnecessary. Then God made a promise that was eventually fulfilled in the birth of Christ. Well, just like Isaiah, sometimes our ministry may be unsuccessful, and our message may get rejected. And Isaiah said, "I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him." And Isaiah also said, "Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel for the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion." So we should be faithful to God even though our ministries are not successful. And like Isaiah, we are signs and we are symbols in this world from God, because we are His workmanship and we are created in Christ for good works. The next thing I want to speak to those who haven't made decisions to believe and follow Jesus and who may find difficulty to commit themselves to God. And the Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." And the Bible also says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So the gospel is very short and clear. So Jesus came to the world, he died on the cross and bore our iniquities. And God raised him from the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. No matter how many times you have heard the gospel, no matter how often you have visited church, there's one thing you need to ask yourself. Do I trust the Lord as my Savior? And do I call upon God for help? Remember, Ahaz was told by Isaiah, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." And the Bible promised us, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. I wonder if you need another sign or miracle before you give your heart to the Lord. And you believe that the Word of God is trustworthy and sufficient for your salvation. Or do you need another sign, another miracle apart from the resurrection of Jesus? The last thing is that we should believe that God is faithful. And he will fulfill whatever he has promised. In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." 700 years later, this promise was fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 1, we read, "An angel for the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. God is faithful. He has given us his own beloved son who will and who is able to save his people from their sins. And that's the reason why we celebrate the birth of Christ. God is faithful. Our Lord said, "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And that's the reason why we anticipate and also prepare ourselves for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we praise your name and for your grace and your majesty and your glory, and you are the one who is able to save, and you are the one who see our hearts and who know our deeds, and you are the one who keep your promises, who fulfill whatever you have promised. And I pray that you will enable each of us to walk closely with you, and that you help us to prepare ourselves to enter the season of Christmas, and help us to have the joy and also the anticipation towards what is coming next. And Lord, I pray that the hope you have already put inside of us will grow, and as we walk with you, and as also our church members, some of our church members are going through difficulties, and I pray that the hope shall be their strength and their also the joy. Father, just help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.